This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hey, Jim. Hello, everyone. Thanks for being with us today.
And you know, Bridget, for a long time, we were asking people if they used Amazon to use Amazon Smile. Sad news, Amazon Smile is no more.
Wah, wah, wah. It's gone away. It's gone away.
Not only for us, but for everybody.
Yeah.
That was a thing that Amazon used to, promote their service and drive people to their service. They don't have it anymore. They don't do it anymore. So shop Amazon if you want to. I'm not saying yes or no. We never tell you where to shop, but we do not get a percentage anymore. You do not need to use Amazon Smile anymore. But I'll bet you feed your family every weekend if you happen to shop at Kroger. And again, we're not telling you where to shop, but if you happen to shop at Kroger, you can do us a big favor simply by going to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Under the donate button, you'll see the word Kroger. If you click there, all you have to do is register your Kroger card. It's a matter of putting in your card number, your name, address, and a little bit of information, and the charity that you want to support. And be sure to use all three words here, Catholic Radio Indy. Catholic Radio Indy. And that's all there is to it. You never have to mention it at the store. You never have to think about it. You never have to let anybody know that you're even doing it. It happens automatically every time you buy a can of beans, a gallon of ice cream, whatever. Catholic Radio gets a small slice of what you spend. And it does. It does add up nicely because we've got a lot of people doing it here in the area. If you haven't done it yet, it doesn't cost you anything. It's simple to do. Again, CatholicRadioIndy.org, under the donate button. Click on Kroger and you'll be all set in no time at all.
Yeah, and I always feel really great when we go to Kroger because I feel like we go there every day to get groceries. And I'm like, well, I'm supporting Catholic Radio Indy. So that's
the only good thing about the increase in grocery prices. And I know people are always complaining, do you know what they're charging for bologna these days? We get a percentage of the bigger amount. So anyhow.
That's so true. Well, we're going to get into our topic today. We're going to actually be talking about the Eucharist and Masses and going to Mass. And joining us today is an author of 52 Masses, A Journey to Experience Catholicism Across America. And joining us is author Daniel Markham. So welcome, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Well, great. It's funny. We get people that ask us, you know, how do you get all your guests? And they come by many ways. And this guest actually emailed us at our info@CatholicRadioIndy.org. And Jim passed it along to me and said, hey, this looks like a really interesting topic, you know, with the Eucharistic Congress coming up here in about a year and a half or so, July 2024. That's happening.
I'm sure our guest has heard this before, but we are all Roman Catholics. He, for a period of time, gave a real different meaning to roaming Catholic.
Yeah. Tell us about the book, Daniel.
So the book is over the course of 21 and 22, I attended Mass in all 50 states, the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, writing about something at each parish or place that I visited. It could be a ministry, an effort at evangelization, education, history, art, an individual story, both people in religious life and lay people as well, just all of the ways that we're living our faith as Catholics, and to try to basically paint a picture of who we are as a Catholic people in the United States, and going to as many different parishes as I could, large, small, urban, mm-hmm. rural, different ethnicities,
sure.
And really, we are the universal church, and I wanted to sure. to explore that uh-huh. both as a Catholic and then share that with the people who happen to read the book. So,
sure.
that was the idea behind it, and I pray that I did a good job of telling that story in the pages of the book. So that's just kind of it in a nutshell.
Sure. Oh, how did you make a decision in a particular state? You pick up Arizona, for example. Well, big state. I know it's got Phoenix and a lot of desert, and not, so, that's about what I know about it.
I reached out to you to through your. I sent emails to basically every parish in the country that had an email address over the course of about 6 months, and I said, "This is what I'm doing. If you have a story that at your parish that you think would make a good addition to the book, you know, please let me know." And my feeling was from the start, every parish has a story to tell.
Absolutely,
and I believe that even more firmly now. So it was just a matter of, you know, who really wanted to be a part of it, and then when I got all of the responses back, it took about, like I said, about 6 months to do it. And then when I got the responses back, I tried to then piece together a good mix of the type of this, again, the types of parishes I would visit, the size, the place. And then I did some place also went to mass at places that weren't parishes. So, for instance, Yellowstone National Park, a military base. And so I, you know, all those things that, you know, And those things, a lot of those ideas came from the people that I reached out to. I never would have come up with on my own some of these things like, oh, wow, that's great. I love that idea. So they really supplied me a lot more variety and diversity than I ever would have imagined on my own. I went to a couple of Eastern churches along the way, which was a great experience, the Melkite Church in Atlanta and the Cyril Malabar Church in Arizona. So that was, I'd never been to one. So this really broadened my experiences exponentially over the course of the trip, so which I really enjoy to begin with. And, mm-hmm. and in some ways, that's kind of the impetus of it was it really came from I was driving my youngest son. I dropped him off at high school soccer practice in Marquette High School in Marquette in Michigan City. And I was reminded of this small parish that my oldest son and I had attended that was built by Lithuanian immigrants and still held a Lithuanian mass every third Sunday. And my oldest son, who's currently in Tanzania, he just loves the world. So that would be what he would do in high school was travel to mm-hmm. foreign language services wherever he could.
Wow.
And so it was kind of that triggered the whole I was reminded of this little parish, St. Anne of the Dunes, which is actually in Indiana Dunes National Park.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea, I used to think that, it was my idea, but then I realized it wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit was kind of asking, calling me to do this. And I realized that, this was not on me.
Now, did you go to all Sunday masses only, or did you get some?
No, originally, the idea was that it was going to be. I was going to start in January of 2021, end on at Christmas and at the end of the year, a very neat 52 weeks in a row, and then COVID kind of laughed at that.
Mm.
So I had already started working on it because a lot of the stuff I would do by interviews by phone because I couldn't expect the people to necessarily be there when I was there. So when things started opening up, the vaccines came out, we started opening up mass a little bit. I just told my publisher, "Hey, I'm just going to go." And so I would go if the geography allowed for it. I would do a vigil mass on a Saturday and Sunday mass the next day at a different location. I did a couple of daily masses if they made sense in Nebraska. I was writing about an Indian school, one of the schools found by St. Catherine Drexel. In Winnebago, Nebraska. So I went to the school mass, which was, a Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning. So that made sense because that's the story I was writing. So there were a few daily masses, mostly Sunday masses. I would say probably 40 of them were probably Sunday masses.
We're talking with Daniel Markham. He is author of 52 Masses, A Journey to Experience Catholicism Across America. And there's something really cool about when you go to a different parish. I mean, everyone can relate to going to mass, our listeners that go to mass, the same thing happens. So you can really go anywhere. I went to mass one time in Italy when we were in Italy, but it was a pilgrimage, but it's amazing. I mean, it was all in Italian and But, you know, you can still follow the Mass even though you don't know a lick of Italian. You know, we didn't. But we knew what was going on. And it was just amazing. So I'm sure people can really relate to all these different stories and all these different places that you went to.
Yeah, that's the beauty of, the beauty of the church is you can go anywhere in the world. You can go to Mass and you can follow along without speaking a word. You get to see small nuances, small differences that relate to their culture. I experienced that in Rhode Island after during the offering. They brought up it was a Nigerian community mm-hmm. that had in Providence, and after the during the offering, these people were bringing up like large value packs of toilet paper and big things of water, and for my Western eyes that looked very odd. Mm-hmm. And so I asked after Mass, and they said, "Well, in Nigeria, they would bring actual vegetables that they had grown mm-hmm. and give them to the priest. That's what they did. That was they didn't necessarily have currency, and so this was but they live in Providence. They don't have they don't have farms, So this was." That the equivalent of that, they're at the grocery store. Oh, bet your father could use some water, and so they bring that up. So what looked different to to me when I saw it, when I heard the story behind it, it became that's neat. That's a way of connecting to the Mass that they grew up with in Nigeria and bringing a little bit of that, with them, to Providence, Rhode Island.
Sure.
And so there's so much of that makes it so. One of the people I talked to is her friends, she was a traveling nurse. She said her friends were always jealous of her because they would take 6 weeks to find a church. Take 6 weeks to find that church. She's like, I never had to do that. I just went to the nearest Catholic church and you knew what you could expect. And, but then just also see a little bit of that, maybe the local, mm-hmm. Differences, but the Mass is the same everywhere you go, and
sure.
there's something really beautiful about that.
Sure. Did you make these journeys entirely on your own, or did you have family member or friends go with
you?
I
had family members. It would be hard to justify going to Hawaii just to go to Mass. So my family, we did a vacation there. Also, when I went to New Orleans, we did a little short weekend over Christmas. In 2021, so the full family came with me there, and then my oldest two children met me a couple of different places because they were working near where they were living. So out west, they met my son a couple of times, and my daughter out east where she was living at the time. So most of it was done by myself, but occasionally I was blessed to have my family with me.
We are talking with Daniel Markham. He is author of 52 Masses, A Journey to Experience Catholicism Across America. We need to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Daniel. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
This station has been an inspiration.
Those moments of the Lord always make my day better.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Learn more about the Catholic faith in a fun, exciting way. It's Catholic Challenge 2.0. Test your Catholic knowledge with questions like this.
What title of our Blessed Mother is used in the name of the National Shrine in Washington, D.C.? Is it the Immaculate Conception, Queen of Peace, or Notre Dame?
Answers to this and more with Catholic Challenge 2.0.
Catholic Challenge 2.0 every Thursday afternoon at 4:30 on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we are talking with our guest, Daniel Markham, who is an author of 52 Masses, A Journey to Experience Catholicism Across America. And Jim joked earlier in the first half of the show that Daniel was a Roman Catholic. So I'm really curious. Well, let's talk a little bit about, did you grow up Catholic? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, very much so. I'm the son of two Irish Catholic families, both mom and dad, as far back as we go. I grew up in New York, but moved to Indiana in 85 when I went to college, and was there until 2005. So I lived in Indiana for 30 years. My wife is a Catholic school principal, and has been for 17 years. All three of our kids went to Catholic, you know, well, her school, and then Catholic high schools in Northwest Indiana, the oldest to Andrean, and then the youngest to Marquette. So, and really, basically, our adult lives largely revolved around our parish. So that's kind of been our story for, you know, for as long as we've been married. So very much the faith has always been a central part of our lives.
Yeah, like a lot of listeners, and we, you know, we have listeners who aren't Catholic too, and they're welcome to listen. But your life as a Catholic can really revolve around the parish, and it's a good life. You know, it's like a fun family. You know, sometimes you have fights too, which is like yeah. You know, not bad ones, but you know what I mean, just squabbles.
Yeah.
Now, Daniel, you went to 52 different masses, 52 different churches. And, you know, of course, as Catholics, the Mass is the same everywhere as everywhere else. But I'm sure that somewhere along the way you may have noticed little nuances or a little custom that kind of struck you. I thought, oh, you know, I kind of like that. Anything come to mind along those lines?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes, in West Virginia, which I was a place I loved, they would have the entire parish would gather at the end of Mass for a community anointing of the sick.
Oh, that's cool.
And virtually everyone stayed. The only person I saw leave was the poor gentleman who had four kids under eight who was, and he was by himself. So I think everyone gave him a pass for leaving before that. But everyone else gathered around the baptismal font, and Father led this communal anointing of the sick, and I thought it was a wonderful ceremony that I... And he did as well, and he said he would love to see others embrace it. It was really nice. So that was one of those things. So that was after the Mass. You know, the nothing jumps to mind during Mass. You know, during the course of Mass, obviously, you know, you can't deviate too much from it. But that was the one thing that I saw, you know, inside the worship space that I really thought would be something that others could embrace.
What about artwork? Were there any particular parishes that stuck out to you in terms of their icons or their statuary that was just really different, or you know, maybe even some saints that you weren't aware of? Because sometimes local parishes will do like a different saint that maybe isn't as well known. You know,
Blessed Sacrament, Stover, Vermont. It's a fascinating story. It's a little church that was founded. It became a parish. It was a mission. It became a parish largely through the work of Maria von Trapp.
Really?
The family had relocated to Vermont after World War II, and it's a fascinating story. But they have all of the work was done by an artist named André Girard, who was a French resistance fighter in World War II, and he did everything in the whole church, the ceilings, the stations. They had, instead of stained glass, he did painting on glass, which has a distinctive style that you wouldn't have seen anywhere else. He's so knowledgeable in the faith. He was so devout and so knowledgeable in the faith that you can see it in his artwork. It's one of the few churches in the world where all of the artwork was done by a single artist. And it's outside the building. It's a fascinating story. I was fortunate to speak to the woman who studied under him and then did the renovations. So that was. From an art standpoint, that was the one that was most memorable. And then I think, you know, if I look, you know, beyond the church walls, St. Augustine as a community stands out because they really embrace the history of the faith in the city. So they have a 400-foot cross on the water, and they have what John F. Kennedy referred to as America's most sacred acre. Which has a lot of history, but St. Augustine is also this, you know, ongoing important place in our in the day to day of Catholic life. So it's a great Catholic city, I encourage all to visit if they get the chance.
Now, did most of the parishes know in advance that you were coming so they could, you know, put out their red carpet, so to speak?
They all did because, you know, that I would let them know a couple of weeks ahead of time if I was coming. The only time that didn't happen was when I was supposed to go to New Orleans in August of 2021, and I was driving into town, and Father gives me a call and says, yeah, we're not going to have Mass on Sunday. I go, what do you mean? And the hurricane was the big landfall then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hightailed it out of there, and I went to Jackson, but I had no way of letting them know ahead of time. I went to Sister Thea Bowman's church in Canton, Mississippi, and I basically just showed up that day without having the ability to let them know, because I didn't know I was going there until the night before.
So I'm curious about the community of people, of believers at various parishes. Any in particular that stick out to you as you know, like extra welcoming, or just a different maybe ethnicity or something that really just was really you really liked, you know? The German, the Irish, the, you know, and we've got a lot of different ethnicities too that are from other countries at this point that are here.
I love the people, like I said, the people of West Virginia. It's one of those really hard hit communities. Industry fled, the opioid crisis came in, and none of that was reflected in the people that I met. They were the most welcoming and warm and inviting people, generous. I love the people so I like the places where I didn't have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the same experience in Cottonwood, Idaho, which is this really strange Catholic oasis in the middle of a place that's not very Catholic, but they have the first town you go into, the population is 135, the church seats 225, and it's almost full. You figure the math doesn't work, but it's great anyway. But then the people that I really stood out were the women of Bakersfield, California. I went there to they have a shrine to the unborn, and they have these women that are working with women who have lost children to miscarriage. So it's a memorial for those who have lost children to miscarriage. And the women in Bakersfield, it's primarily Mexican immigrants, first, second, third generation,
mm-hmm.
very devout, not a lot of money, but just completely committed to this. And they had miscarriages themselves. And they saw that as a blessing because it allowed them to do this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And their faith, their commitment was so inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. I felt when I got home, and I had mentioned this to my neighbor who had been in seminary himself, and when I was telling them their story and another woman who I met, he said, wow, they sound like saints. And I felt that was how I felt. I felt like that was as close as I was going to come to meeting saints
mm-hmm.
on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Was the women of Bakersfield, California, and it was. I still feel that way. I still am inspired by them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Daily.
Daniel, tell us a little bit about the book itself, 52 Masses. Is it like a diary, or is it like a story, or a novel?
It's just a collection of stories. So it's everywhere I went, I would write about a specific topic. You know, like I said, a ministry. You know, so in Bakersfield, it would have been about that. Their commitment to the unborn. In South Dakota, I went to an Air Force base, so I wrote about how the airmen would work. You know, how their faith helps in their service to our country. And so it's just all those different ways that we're living our faith as Catholics, how people are, you know, average people like you and I who are using their gifts to serve Christ. And that was what the idea was, and that's what I hope I was able to convey, and I hope people would be as inspired by them as I continue to be.
Where can people get a copy of the book? What's the best way to get that?
Well, you can get it from my website. Well, you can get it. You can get a link on my website, which is 52masses.com. And then it's also available on Amazon. Either way works just fine. If you want a signed copy, sounds weird saying autograph, mm-hmm. a signed copy. You have to go through the website. Those are the two locations right now where it can be available.
So that's 52, that's the number 52masses.com to get the book, yep. a signed copy. Just got about 2 minutes left. How has this impacted you just doing this? What was your big takeaway from doing this on your faith?
On the one hand, I wanted to accomplish certain things with the book, which was, you know, to spread the word of who we are as people of faith and hopefully inspire people. But I had this secondary goal that I wanted to come home a better Catholic, which would also mean I was a better husband, a better father, a better everything. And, I mean, I can't be the judge of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that I feel different. I feel certainly closer to Christ than I ever have. I feel this incredible sense of peace over my life that has not dissipated it at all. And then I feel like, you know, I can find every Sunday when I just go to my parish. So, yeah, I feel my faith has grown tremendously in the course of these 52 weeks. And I hope, you know, that's not the end, that it continues to grow as I without having to necessarily travel the country to do it. But that was what I hoped. What I would hope happened on a personal level was that my own faith would grow, my understanding, my knowledge, all aspects of Catholic understanding would grow as a part of this experience.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be an interesting read. I haven't been able to get through it all. I did just kind of crack the book. So the book is 52 Masses. Journey to Experience Catholicism Across America, and our guest has been Daniel Markham. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed talking to you.
And the website, one more time, is 52, that's the number 52masses.com. God bless, Daniel.
Okay. Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.